This week on All My Children, evil has finally arrived in Pine Valley in the form of Chuck Pratt's writing.
Erica and Adam plan a tropical getaway in the middle of a tornado.
Oh, my hat! Watch out! Watch out! Careful, Jordan! Ow!
Ow!
Zach goes to get s'mores and comes home to find out his architect wasn't very good.
And Emma goes to see the number one movie 2 weeks in a row.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua, playing now in a theater near you.
All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Oh, watch out, hang on. Lunatic Opal and crazy ass Crystal want to see Jesse. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza. There is evil coming. I had a vision and it said it in the car. There's evil coming, Jesse. Can you stop it?
Madam Opal, you forgot your bag of tricks.
First Spike goes deaf, and then Little A goes deaf, dumb, and blind.
Debbie, Darnell, we need you to be a little bit more black.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
The only thing that was exciting was the fact that Susan Lucci's breasts were popping up.
I'm a virgin, Frankie. I have to take it slow, or else I can't do it. I'll really freak out.
Megan McTavish territory. That's all I'm going to say. This is exactly what I warned you about, Chuck Pratt. It's just like Megan McTavish. This is stupid.
Stupid.
Stupid, stupid,
stupid.
Stupid.
You know what it is? You know what it is?
What?
Stupid. Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending October 17, 2008. I didn't think
week.
I was going to make it.
I didn't think you were going to make it either.
You know what kept me going?
What?
I felt myself flying away, and I was able to use Angie's weave as a rope. And I flung it, and I caught onto a pole, and that thing held me tight.
That weave did not come
that
off.
That weave didn't move.
It just did not go anywhere, did
JR
it?
JR and Tad both went flying into oblivion, but that weave did not move during that tornado.
I didn't like her hair this week. I did not like that weave.
It.
I didn't like that weave.
How many weaves do you think she has?
I don't know, but this one wasn't working for me. I didn't like this one. This one made her look old. I like her Janet Jackson Velvet Rope one.
Well, that's a good one.
I like that one. She looks all sexy, hot mama. This one made her look too matronly.
That's true. It was a little bit older. She's been looking a little matronly. I noticed that. Her wardrobe, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, listen. We got a lot to talk about. We have been gone for a week.
What a week has been. Again, so much going on behind the scenes on all the soap operas on daytime than what's going on screen.
You got to fill me in because you got to forgive me. I had a rough time with the show this past week and the week before, and so I didn't even really read the blogs because I just didn't have anything to contribute because I wasn't really watching every day. I did a marathon last night. it was painful.
I've been watching, but I gotta say
Say it, please.
I'm just gonna say. I mean, I said it on the blog, and I think was it Laura? I think it was Laura. Somebody agreed with me about something, but anyway, I'm just gonna put it out there. I mean, there is a difference between a good writer and a bad writer.
And you think?
A good writer, I'm setting up for something. A good writer takes what has already been established and builds on that. They enhance it. They contribute to it. A bad writer deconstructs. Hmm. They ignore what's happened in the past. They don't believe in continuity. They throw everything out the door and all they care about is themselves. Now, Barbara and James brought Jesse back. Was it plausible? Yeah, it was a typical daytime thing, you know.
It wasn't plausible.
It was a stretch, but they gave us a story. Megan McTavish.
You are reaching.
Megan McTavish decides to prove that Erica's aborted baby wasn't aborted and the fetus was stolen. That's ludicrous. That's bad, right? And now Chuck Pratt is doing it. He does not seem to care what has gone on before. And I'm not happy with it. I'm sorry, guys. I know some of you are very mixed and some of you are liking it. But first of all, I don't know who these characters are.
Nope, no idea.
And I have to tell you, let us start off right off the bat. I just want to say it. I was repulsed by Tuesday's episode.
I called him screamed at his voicemail for 7 minutes.
I was disgusted by it. Mm-hmm. I'm not even a woman, and I was disgusted by it. I can't even imagine how women must feel watching that.
I'm going to tell you right now.
You're a woman.
I'm a woman. I'm also Puerto Rican. I'm Puerto Rican through and through. and I didn't like it. They were finally at a point where they were making Carmen a real person, and then she starts throwing chancletas and spitting out, you know, four-letter words in Spanish.
Yeah, it was, and you know me, and I've been one of the people that have been like loving Carmen, especially when she gets all Latin.
That's not her fault.
But that was not the character.
It's not her fault.
Especially because you know what, Chuck Pratt did not acknowledge everything that Barbara and James did with this storyline and with these two people. We grew to care about them. Barbara and James gave us a story. Whether you guys liked it or not, I don't know. But I liked it. I liked the fact that Erica grew up and that for the first time in almost 40 years, her character was thinking of others and not herself. And it was finally a chance for the character to just grow and become more human. And I love the relationship that she had with Carmen. And since Chuck Pratt came on, he has just ignored everything that Barbara and James did with these two characters. Obviously, he does not want to write for Carmen, and she's on her way out the door. I mean, the writing's on the wall as far as I'm concerned.
Not only that, he doesn't have any interest in showing women as friends.
Yeah, I mean,
all the women have to hate each other on the show over men.
It was disgusting to watch.
Kill somebody.
The scene was disgusting that these two women are grown women. They're not 16 years old. They're not even 20 years old. They were friends. They bonded. And to fight over a man and Jerkson, let alone Jerkson. I mean, the dialogue was repulsive. The scene was repulsive. I mean, good Lord, Erica is in her, what, 60s?
Yes.
I mean, it just was ludicrous, disgusting, trite. I literally stopped the VCR and I had to like take a breath. Walk away and then process and come back and finish it because I was so mad. And I honestly almost was ready to give up on my children after that.
I'm so mad I can't even talk about it.
I was ready to give up on my children. I just found that episode and that those scenes
so offensive.
And then the thing that kills me is that you don't see Jackson and Carmen for weeks. They come back. There's no scenes with them together except a 2-second breakup because she overhears them talking to Erica.
And Erica,
how are you supposed to be invested in them as a couple? Or this is a story. This is not a real storyline. And that's the problem with Chuck Pratt and his writing right now. He's not giving us storylines. He's giving us moments, concepts, events, but there's no real story going on.
It's prime time bullshit.
I mean, even Melrose Place was written better than this crap. Can I say crap?
You say crap.
Okay. Crap.
People, for those of you who didn't watch Tuesday's episode, Erica ripped Carmen's dress off.
Mm-hmm.
That's how disgusting it got.
And it wasn't a wardrobe malfunction.
She ripped it off. So Carmen's like, so the front half of it was off. And then you saw like her bra and slip thing. And she started screaming in Spanish and throwing things.
And then Adam fired her.
Of course, but
it was just so horrible. And it was done with such venom. That's the other thing too.
I agree with that.
Venom that these two women were spewing at each other.
I agree with that.
I gotta tell you guys, I am really infuriated about this turn of events.
If it wasn't for you people, I swear to God, it was like, I really had like a light bulb moment when I'm sitting there watching and I called
and
you.
And you're like, why?
Screaming.
You're like, why am I watching this?
Why am I doing this?
That's why I'm wondering. I told you, I was gonna give up on my children.
I don't wanna, you know, it's like so bum. Is that a new word? I heard a little kid saying, you bum, you bum.
You bum?
Yeah.
I like it. You bum.
You bum.
You bum. That's our new word.
That's so bum.
That's so bum.
I don't think it was
like that's
dumb.
So Raven.
No, I think it was like. But that's like, so I think bum. It was worse than dumb.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I could be wrong. I heard it.
So you're
I
so was bum.
Like, well, this show's so bum, and I don't want to be. What I was gonna say is, I don't want to be so bum and bring a podcast to y'all. You know, every week that's like, we hate it. It sucks. It's terrible. It's the worst thing on TV. It sucks. Because you know what? That gets boring. And it's not entertaining. And also, too, it's really easy to sit here and be like, that sucks. It's the worst. Blah, blah, blah. We're not interested in doing that because we have a love and an appreciation for the show's history. But the problem is that I'm starting to feel like the only thing I can share with y'all is how much I hate it right now. I got nothing else to say.
I'm trying to figure out why it's hurting you more now than it did. See, last year it did hurt me with the Satin Slayer and stuff, but it didn't faze you as much. But this year I was the one. But see, now I'm becoming more like you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of like, I'm feeling it. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling it as I'm watching. And I think the problem is because I don't know. I feel like at least last year I had some hope, and now I don't have no hope no
That's
more.
That's what it is. I'm taking this one personally. You hit the nail on the head.
I don't have no hope no more because you know, as much as y'all people keep swearing that Brian Fonz has the best interest, because a lot of you on the blog say that Brian Fonz has the best interest of daytime, I don't see that. SoapNet is showing movies that have nothing to do with soap operas. He canceled Another World. He took the All My Children Weekend episodes off. Everything that Brian Fonz is doing shows that he does not really care about these shows. He made a promise that if Jeannie Francis, when Jeannie Francis first came back a couple of years ago for the 25th anniversary of Luke and Laura, he said that if the ratings go up, that they were going to bring her back on contract. Not only did the ratings go up, but for the first time in like bazillion years, General Hospital was the number one show over Young and the Restless because Jeannie Francis came back. God knows I only started watching General Hospital again when Jeannie Francis came back.
Yeah, I remember. You were so excited.
And did Brian Fonz do what he promised? No. And now the rumors are going on the internet that Ron C. at One I Like to Live is going to be demoted as head writer. When that show is one of the, like, every magazine, everybody that reads agrees that One Night to Live is, like, the best written. Whether you like it or not is not the point. But as far as, like, quality goes and obvious love for the show, One Night to Live is, like, everybody's, like, tooting One Night to Live right now. Like, so you demote him?
Do you know the backstory? Because I don't know
I don't know. I read this on a blog. I read this on another blog, like, one of those websites. I don't want to mention which one's kind of one, you know. But, I could not believe what I was reading. I'm like, they're going to demote him as head writer.
There's got to be a story there.
And then, supposedly, he doesn't want Andrea Evers on the show because it's costing too much to fly her in.
Who doesn't?
Brian Fonz. And they want Andrea Evers, and I know that the fans want Andrea Evers and Tina back. And see, and so when I hear stuff like this, it doesn't make me feel like Brian Fonz really gives a flying fig about this show. I mean, yes, he got us Ricky Paul and Beth Ehlers, and yes, we're enjoying Jake and Taylor, but you know what? I want my Brooke back. I want my Dixie back.
And we all know who's leaving.
And who's leaving?
Do we know this? We've talked about this on the blog.
No. On the... Oh, you mean Rebecca?
Uh-huh. That's not a spoiler, people. It's been talked about on the blog.
See, and that's another thing that I don't understand about, too. Rebecca... Wasn't it Rebecca who was, like, going... The minute they hired Chuck Pratt as head writer, wasn't she the one that was going in the press saying, oh, this is a great thing, blah, 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 blah. And now, not even 6 months into his writing, she's ready to jump ship?
Because it sucks.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking her and blaming her. If I was in her position and I was being forced to come in and work with Adam every day, I'd quit too.
Well, she's not going to be working with him no more.
Because I'm sure when she signed up again, she really thought they were going to get rid of him immediately, at least with her. Hmm. I mean, she probably figures they made me suffer enough with those two Latin guys before I left. What were their names? Those brothers?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Juan Pablo and Juan Carlo or something like that. Oh, my God. And I can joke. I could joke about that because I'm Latin, so I could joke on them. They were horrible.
They were terrible.
They were horrible.
Oh, my God.
First of all, one had an accent. The other one didn't. They didn't even seem or look like brothers.
Do you remember that blooper where he said, work a fart? And he said, work a fart. And Rebecca started laughing because she's like, I thought he said fart.
I remember that. Oh, my God. So I don't blame her for wanting to leave. I really don't.
Would you blame me for wanting to leave?
I'll just turn it to the Landview podcast.
What are we going to do, people? I'm having a crisis. I don't even want to recap today. I'm so upset.
Right now, I can give you 3 good storylines that could turn all my children around.
Oh, you're going to break my heart.
Just like that. Let me write the show.
I wish you would. You are so brilliant at this. He wants to give Rebecca this exit. And this, can you tell him about the exit you want to give Greenlee?
Oh, I was talking to Ashley, and I told Ashley that if Rebecca's leaving and Greenlee's leaving, what they should do is they should have Greenlee come into the room of wherever she's staying or the house or something, and just from the back of the head, somebody that looks like Leo, and she can go, oh my God, Leo. And then we find out that Leo was alive and he took Greenlee, and Greenlee and Leo are living happily ever after off screen. Because you know, in the old days, how they wrote soap couples off. That's how they wrote people off. If people wanted to leave, it's okay to let people leave happily every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And I prefer that over what's going on now with her just leaving. That's stupid. I'd rather give her a reason to leave and have her go with Leo and be happy. Because let's be honest with you, Greenlee hasn't been the same since Leo left.
But it's never talked about, and I don't get that either.
And that's another thing that annoys me. You would never think that she was ever in love with Leo.
With Adam, give me a break.
Adam, please.
Give me a break.
There's so much wrong with the show right now, people. I don't know if a lot of you are in denial, but there's... I mean, because Terry... she's agreeing with us. I mean, she's... And Terry is a big supporter of AMC. Yes. Terry is a big, so for Terry.
She watches.
For Terry to be like, this is it.
Here's what I'm going to say.
It's serious.
Here's what I'm going to say. Number one, Sarah Palin is on SNL on Saturday night. You got to watch it. That would be funny. Number two, Mad Men is really, really good.
Oh my God. Did you see last Sunday's?
Yes.
Oh my God, how disturbing was that?
It was so freaky.
It was so freaky and disturbing and interesting and oh my God.
I love it.
But did you hear the scandal about Mad Men?
No, January Jones is dead.
No, I don't know why you don't like her.
I hate her.
I like January Jones. No, D, don't know if there's going to be a season 3.
No!
Yes.
How is that possible?
AMC has not signed up with Matthew Weiner, and he has not signed up to do a season 3, and that's the creator writer. And so there's not any word yet. And
now,
rumors are that HBO and Showtime are fighting to get this show on their series.
You know what? HBO messed up in the first place.
I know. HBO was supposed to get it. Oh.
Not so much Showtime, because I don't know that they're as good as picking shows.
No, Showtime.
But HBO. Well, no. Showtime shows are better now.
Showtime's better now than HBO.
I agree.
Because I love me some Dexter and the Tudors.
Yes. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. But I blame HBO because HBO should know better, and they didn't.
Oh, well. You know, because HBO's been dropping the ball a lot lately.
Their shows are terrible now. You're going to tell me?
I haven't been like it. I like vampire stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's so dumb. I can't say. Look, we are 15 minutes into the show.
We haven't talked about all my children. Okay, let's start.
Number three. What? Number three. Breaking Bad is really good, too.
Woo! Breaking.
But
Bryan Cranston. Oh, he
is. But number four. Seriously, people. What? Number four. I'm not trying to be a hater. I swear I am not doing this to be a hater. The problem for me is I'm taking this personally. We had Eziston and Brown. Now, granted, towards the end, they dropped off because they were pissed off because they got fired and stuff. But at least they were giving us glimpses of the people that we knew, of the characters, as really I think they're truly intended. They gave us a lot of quiet moments, a lot of real tender moments, a lot of interesting things. That's what I think.
I agree with you. I like Barbara and James.
Even if certain things weren't completely fleshed out, which there's no way in hell the Jesse and Angie story was not fleshed out for me. It was ridiculous.
No, they...
Your story would have been a zillion times better. Jordan's idea was to have Jesse in hiding because Angela's father had threatened him to kill him and get rid of him. And I think that's a brilliant idea.
They could still go with that, too.
I'm telling you, they should have.
They still. Antonio Fargas is still alive. He's on Everybody Hates Chris almost every week.
Instead, we get Papel. Give me a freaking break.
Well,
but listen, hear me out. I think that, and you know I like to give my opinions, I think that even though it was going okay, they make this change for this Chuck Pratt because they don't listen. They are trying to do all these dog and pony tricks to get the viewership up, and it makes me mad. It makes me so mad. So they get rid of what's starting to work and what's bringing the fans back. They get rid of it, and they bring on this a-hole, this Chuck Pratt hole, okay? He doesn't, and I told you people from the beginning, he does not, when I was hearing the people's voices, it wasn't their voices in the actors' mouths. It was so upsetting to me, and it just feels like for the sake of these, you know, fantastic, crazy, wacky primetime storylines, they're annihilating my show, and I'm so angry. And the tornado hit this week, people. For those of you that are not watching, the tornado hit Pine Valley this week. And I realized that as much as it was kind of like, I liked some of the CGI, and I thought it was fun, and some of it really did get to me, I realized for the first time, people, that I didn't give a f***. I didn't give a
sh-.
I didn't give a f***. I didn't give a sh-. I didn't give a crap. I didn't give nothing. I didn't care because I didn't care about the people in the storm. And I thought, what if Dixie was in the storm? What if Brooke was in the storm? You know, what if Myrtle, which God rest her soul, Eileen Hurley, was in the storm? That would have been a whole different ballgame for me. A whole different ballgame. I would have been riveted, completely riveted. You know, what if Daisy was in the storm?
You know Daisy! What I love what my Daisy!
Mona? I know Mona's I gone, but Daisy. What See, if real Ruth was in the
Now, Disco Dan's thought on this and stuff like this is like, we gotta move on. You know, Disco Dan's been saying that about Kobe.
I haven't been reading, people. I'm sorry.
So that Disco Dan, I love you, yo. Your comments are really, I love the people in our blogs. Laura, Disco Dan, Arizona Gal, Terry, Elise and Susan are back this week in the blog.
Yes, Elise and Susan are back.
I mean, I you guys bring out some really, 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 really interesting good points.
Shadow, we didn't Shadow
N69.
N69, Norn, he, I called him a girl. What was I thinking on the podcast? I think I said she.
You were smoking too much.
Norn made an illustration for us.
I saw that. It was beautiful.
Amazing. It made me cry.
For those of you who did not click on the little, you got to see his. Oh, my God. It is beautiful. Beautiful.
It is the heart of all my children. It is Erica. It's Mona overlooking them.
Right.
Mona overlooking them. And then Erica, Kendall, and Banks.
Oh, and it was great caricatures of them.
I loved it.
You really captured them. It was beautiful.
Oh, it was so
I loved
good.
It. I loved it.
And he has
it.
A style that's like all his own, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, it was
like,
very, it's, oh, it was very, but I great. Thought he really captured the actresses.
Absolutely. So.
Hands down.
And he gave it to
Super
Poster as well.
Oh, Super Poster.
Friends. He has one of the best blogs going on all my children.
He's the only one I believe.
Honestly, it's true.
I read other blogs and a lot of them are, yeah, but you know what? Like certain sites, I won't mention their names, but like when Super Poster posts something, he's very much like Brooke on All My Children. He will never post something that he doesn't know to be the truth.
Absolutely.
There's never going to be any like, you know, so, no.
Integrity.
Super Poster, he ha- thank
Integrity.
You. Integrity.
So you need to
That's
know
why you need to go to Super Poster.
www.myspace.com/superposterofthe year. He's a super poster of the century, but that's not his tag. It's super poster of the year.
I guess we need to start talking about the show.
Do you hear my point, though?
Yeah, I heard you.
It's not... I know I get defensive about it, but I don't ever want to do a show just to slag something. That's no fun. I like to... I really wish I could find joyful things that I could be like, woo-wee about. And there were... Listen, there were a couple. We'll get to them. There were a couple. But for
there
all
were?
Of them, there, for me, there were.
Okay.
For the couple of things that were good, there's a whole lot for me that is so untruthful and so gross and so against the characters that we love, then their true characters and natures, that it makes me mad. Makes me very mad. It's disrespectful to the family. That's what it is. Disrespectful to the family.
Okay.
Who are you talking about? Give me an 80 first.
Go ahead, I'm gonna give you special effects.
Don't give me no damn doorbell.
Ding dong.
Oh gosh, he did it.
Ding dong.
Can I just ask you a question?
What?
Who the F is the Aiden that carries guns, that bugs earrings, that is just generally crazy and insecure? Who is that Aiden?
Chuck Pratt's Aiden.
Thank you. Cause I never met him before.
I'm telling you, I think All My Children's become like a spoof on horror movies this week. This
like
is Invasion of the Body Cast.
Yes,
Invasion of the Body Snatchers with Erica, right. Erica, Carmen, and Adam.
Mm-hmm.
They're all pop people.
They really are pop people.
So what happened
Even
with Green
Zach
Lantern?
To an extent, I think.
Oh, I don't like what Zach did to Annie.
Weird, right?
I don't...
Do you even get why?
I don't know. Is he doing it because he thinks by giving Ryan... Emma, that Ryan's gonna get out of his life and Kendall's life? Is that what it is? Because if he's doing it for that reason, do you not forget that you're raising Ryan's son? So Ryan's always gonna be a part of your life.
No, he's doing it because when he was a boy, his mother was taken away from him the very same age Emma was. That's why.
Wait, so he was taken away from his
mother when he was Emma's age, and he didn't like it. He wants Annie to get better, to go back to her daughter.
And he thinks by taking the baby away from Annie, that's going to help her get better?
He thinks that she's nuts. So I think... he thinks that she's off her rocker.
And yet Ryan is sane?
Yes.
Yet Ryan's a better parent?
No. So here's the thing. He's trying to teach her a lesson, pulling her away.
Made him God?
Can I just...
Who made him God, though?
I'm going to remind you of one little thing.
What?
She did bludgeon a man to death. She's got some issues.
That's a minor thing. I love me some Annie, and I want Emma with Annie. I don't give a flying fig. You are not God, Zack Slater.
Thank you.
With all the crap you've done and all the things you pulled, you are nobody to be thrown. Let those without sins cast the first stone. That's what I say.
The Bible says it.
Is that where that's from?
The Bible.
Okay.
Jesus said it. Because remember all the people were going to stone, was it Mary Magdalene? Weren't they going to stone Mary Magdalene?
I don't know, the Bible.
And they said he would have sin. And then so they didn't stone Mary Magdalene?
I guess.
That was some serious stuff back then.
But
can you imagine being stoned? Like, literally people throwing stones at you till you die. That is some painful stuff.
Really? Let's try it out.
Ow! Stop it! Ow! He's not really stoned.
So, anyway,
all right, fine. Okay. What?
I'm just saying I don't like what Zach's doing to Annie. That's it.
I agree. Listen, I don't get any of this. We get this Adam thing at the beginning of the week, right? The bugging the earrings. Was that all this week? I'm losing track.
Yeah.
It sucks. Let's not mince words. And then Greenlee blames Kendall. And we get a whole lot of sucks tet scenes that I hate. Well, actually, it's just the two of them. But, I got to tell you that I feel bad for Adam Turner. I can't even say Aiden. I say Adam. Aiden Turner. Because this material is so awful. He gets so upset. He has to pretend that he's just devastated. That he doesn't give a crap that he bugged Greenlee's earrings and that he's devastated. And he ends up, like, taking a sledgehammer to the house that they're building. And, like, a halfway skilled actor could maybe make it fly. That's how bad it is. Maybe make it fly. He don't have skills, Papi. I feel terrible for that act. I feel terrible for the man. It just looks goofy and silly, doesn't it? Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just listening to you.
I'm like, do I have a zit?
No, I'm listening to you. I'm riveted by what you're saying, so I'm listening to you.
Greenlee sees the broken down house as she breaks down crying. Poor Rebecca. I feel bad for Rebecca, buddy.
Those were tears of joy because she knows in a couple of months she's going to be out of this mess. Well, she's going to be out of this hot mess.
Well, listen, I have to say, though, I like that she didn't wear a lot of makeup this week in her grief. I thought it was good. No? I'm trying to find a bright spot. We need to find some bright spots. You know what I'm saying?
Keep going. Maybe we'll find one.
Then Ryan and Greenlee somewhere admit that they love each other. And then they hug at first. If I'm going to tell a man that after I've been estranged for him for years and he broke my heart and I never really got over him and I married another man to get over him and I looked at him and said, I still love you, baby. I will grab him and kiss him and pull his hair out and then I'd throw him to the floor and I'd make love to him. I'm going to hug him.
That was like One Life to Live with Gigi and Rex.
Tell me this. Why are you doing this to me?
See, you're watching the wrong soap, girl.
Well, they finally kiss. And here's the thing, when they finally kiss, you know what I felt?
Nothing.
Psst. Nothing. Nothing was there. Nothing happened. That's not what it was. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. That would have been more interesting than their kiss. Super Poster, I know you agree with me. He doesn't like Riley. He don't like it.
I don't like it. It makes no sense. I don't believe it.
I just hope, I'm going to be honest with you.
What?
I hope Sabine don't come back.
Sabine better not come back.
It would be weird.
And you know what I'm going to tell you, that girl, I know you want to act and you want to make money, but have some self-respect. Don't come back.
That's true.
After the way they disrespected for you, don't come back.
She won't do it.
Hold out for another soap.
She's a beautiful girl. I wish I looked like her. She's beautiful. Okay. She's cute too. Perfect body. Oh my God, perfect body. All right, so Greenlee leaves, and that Corinna, she got some airtime this week.
Corinna. I know, she was back again, Corinna.
She must have been thrilled. Can I ask you a question?
What?
Is she mentally slow? things don't seem to register with her.
It's because she has too much hair.
Oh, you think it's weighing her down, her braids?
Yes, I think her hair is weighing down. Who has hair like that now? It's 2008. She needs to do something to that hair.
I actually think it's kind of beautiful, her hair. Oh,
no, it looks too much like Cousin Ed.
Oh, my God. It's like when Annie accuses her of something, she like is like, it's like I literally hear, it's really so weird. I hear crickets. Like, I don't know if it's my high definition.
Cricket.
Like, Annie asks her a question and I hear the cricket. And I actually, and I see Annie kind of start to fall asleep. It's really weird.
Because Corinna has those eyes that like...
They glaze.
They glaze over. Yeah. So you're looking at her, you're just like glazing over too.
Yeah, I'm so
strange. Anyway, all right. So listen, I'm getting off track here because it's just so ridiculous. But basically, they set up this thing all week where Annie is really afraid of the person that's trying to get her. So she's worried that Emma is in danger.
Can I ask you something?
What?
Why is David stalking Annie of all people?
I don't know.
What? Why? I understand that why he's in the house looking after Babe and the kid. But what is his issue with Annie? Did him and Annie even... Yeah, Annie did meet him. Oh, yeah, they did know each other from way back.
You know, I didn't even mention, did I? The gun.
Oh, what?
The gun.
What gun?
When did Adam pull a gun on Ryan? Was that Monday or Tuesday?
Who cares?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He shows up in Ryan's apartment with a gun, and Greenlee shows up to save the day. And then Adam gives Ryan the gun and says, shoot me, shoot me.
And damn it, Ryan, you didn't do it.
You didn't pull the trigger.
You didn't pull the trigger. Give me the gun. I would have done it.
I would have done it.
God knows Rebecca wanted to do it. Rebecca was like, dude, I gotta shoot that
Brit. Rebecca got to the page in the script where it said Ryan picks up the gun to shoot Adam. She got so happy. She called her agent.
I'm changing my mind. I'm gonna stay.
Happy days are here again. That's gonna love. And then she turned the page. And she just fell in her dressing room in a heap. She was just defeated.
Oh, give me the gun. I would have shot him, damn it.
Oh, my God. She called up the writer group. She's like, guys, there's a typo. instead of where it's supposed to say Adam's dead, it says Adam walks out of the room. There's just a little typo there. Can we just put some white out in there? Type right over it. That's what happened there. All right, so then her doorbell starts ringing like crazy the next day.
Because the tornado's coming.
Tornado's coming.
Does anybody know anything about that? I want to know if that's true. Do doorbells ring when tornadoes come?
I don't
know. Did they make that up?
It was like the theme, like the moon.
I know, the moon. Again with the moon. What is this obsession Chuck Pratt has with the moon? I thought I was watching Dark Shadows. My name is Opal Gardner, and darkness has come over the town of Pine Valley. It's just like Dark Shadows. Everything was Dark Shadows this week. I was like, ugh.
She sold it. I'll give her that.
I'll give it. She made that work. That whole scene, we'll get to that.
We'll get to it. So Ryan and Greenlee talk, and then Jerkson comes in, and he jerks his way through the scene. Poor Greenlee. Did you see her black eye?
Because Jerkson hit her in the face?
Yeah, he was talking. So animated.
And his head was like, woo, woo, woo.
Yeah.
And she just grabbed his head and she said, stop.
Yeah. It was really strange.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, where was the place that she goes? Did they got married there or something?
I don't know where that place was. It was so dark and gloomy because the tornado was coming. I couldn't recognize it.
It was. Well, before any of that happened, let's talk a little about Annie. Should we go from Annie at the shrink's office to Annie in the custody hearing? Like, we had no in between, right?
Bad writing.
Terrible writing. Of course, Zach blackmails her, so she agrees to give up custody of Emma. And then when Annie goes to see Ryan about the whole thing, I'm numb. And then the next day, Kendall has a cat fight with Annie. And I just have to think aloud to myself if Chuck Pratt is ever going to allow two women on this show to ever be friends and not cat fight over men. Kendall, or actually Alicia, was actually hoarse. And I swear to God, it has to be from all the cat fighting she's been doing these past few days. Did you hear her hoarseness the other day?
Mm-hmm. See, and I was going to say something. I was going to say, well, there is Angie and Crystal, but that wasn't his doing. That was Barbara and James. I'm sure he'll find a reason for the two of them to be fighting, too.
He's going to find a way for Angie to tear down Natalia. I mean, it's going to be like, it's not even funny to me. It's ridiculous. So anyway, that's when we get that whole stupid dumbness. Oh, I did like, this is one of the moments I liked. We should make this a segment on our show. One of the moments I liked in AMC this week. When Annie starts to do her usual shenanigans and threatening everybody and doing this, and Annie tells Kendall, because Kendall's going off on her, that she will tell that Zach was with her and that Zach planned the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. And Zach's like, shut up! You don't threaten my family. You don't threaten my family. I'll make you disappear. Remember that? I like that. That was a good moment. She shut right the hell up. That was a good moment.
Groundskeeper Willie. He sounds like Groundskeeper Willie from The Simpsons.
He does. And then Annie leaves, and Kendall don't understand why Zach is so intent over this whole thing. And she realizes, like I said before, it's because Zach lost his own mama when he was Emma's age. He wants Andy to get butter. That girl, she got some mental problems.
He has a funny way of showing it.
No, I think he makes sense.
No, I don't think. To give Emma to Ryan.
He's giving her distance from her daughter so she could get better.
And she gives it to Ryan?
Well, fine. He's a good actor.
Who?
Boston K. He made it work. It's pretty crappy material. He made it work. He and Kendall make love. Yeah, exactly. And we get that whole thing where the couple is like amazingly happy and perfect before one of the couples bites it.
Or goes into a coma for four months.
All right. I don't think this is a spoiler alert, but because some of you people might not know this, we'll do it for the sake of y'all. Spoiler alert. Turn down your iPods. Fast forward about 10 seconds. Kendall is going to be in a coma. And then after she comes out of the coma, it's not going to be for 4 months.
Yep.
And a lot will happen.
And a lot will happen.
A lot will happen. None of it will actually make any sense.
You mean like her son will have a sister that's also his cousin? Shh. It's like Chinatown. I'm your mother. I'm your sister. I'm your mother. I'm your sister.
I love that movie. If you people have not watched Chinatown, you go rent it. Brilliant. Faye Dunaway, brilliant. Brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant. I'm bored. Annie decides that she got to protect Emma. She goes to Opal's first.
And yes.
She begs Petey to stay there.
Yes.
She gets a place there, right?
And Petey did not want her to stay all of a sudden.
Yeah, why was that?
I don't know.
No, because Opal was acting crazy. Remember when Opal was acting crazy, Petey's like, kill me.
Yeah, but it seemed more... It didn't seem like that's what he was playing. It seemed like he didn't want Annie to be there. Not because he was embarrassed about Opal. I felt like he had an issue with Annie.
Maybe he was afraid.
Of what?
To confront his manhood.
You mean, you think he's afraid that he might like pop his cherry with Annie?
Oh, you can't say that!
What?
That's a nasty way to say it.
That Annie might deflower him?
Yes, that's a nicer way to say it. He's afraid of going into that territory. Right. So then what happens? Annie goes to the comeback and sees Adam?
Yes. And they have an exchange that was so...
Who cares?
It was, God.
After Annie goes on for a half hour about Ryan and Greenland, she goes, but I don't care about that. Where's my daughter? Am I right?
Yes. And then she goes to Ryan's.
Mm-hmm. And can I ask you a question? She goes to Ryan because she's desperate to find out where Emma is.
Uh-huh.
She goes and finds a key in the hallway under the plants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has Ryan not gotten a court order against Annie because he fears for his daughter's safety? Mm-hmm. Probably not a good idea to leave a key under a vase in the hallway. It's just a gut thought.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I live in New York, but I don't know anybody that leaves any kind of key anywhere in their apartment building outside their apartment. I think that's crazy. You do that?
No, Pedro's parents do that. I'm telling you, they have a tree in front of their house.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Where do Pedro's parents live?
I went to Thanksgiving for him one year.
Where do they live?
They live in Massachusetts.
Oh, damn.
But listen, I went to that house, and I'm like, oh, nobody's home. You know, we'll wait till they get home. He's like, no, that's okay. He goes to a tree, and it's like a nail on a tree. It's not even hidden. It's like a nail on a tree. He takes the key with single key off and goes, I'll open the door. I was like, what?
And this is where in Massachusetts?
Lexington.
Oh, my God.
So I get it, okay? I get it. But I just thought it was odd. I don't know if anybody else thought that. Annie picks up a newspaper and realizes that Emma has gone to see her favorite movie, Beverly Hills Chihuahua, now playing in a theater near you.
Yeah, this product placement of Walt Disney is annoying to no end.
Yes. Now, Corinna, when asked about Emma and Ryan... She's like, you're not supposed to see Emma. And after all that, fussing and fighting, Emma disappears. So Insani goes crazy. You think she goes crazy over Ryland Greenley. She nuts over her daughter. I like it. That's my second
I like the fact that a tornado's coming and everybody's all calm, though. The guy that works in the theater was just sweeping away like nothing.
I have two comments for you.
What?
Opal almost has a heart attack, and nobody really gets flustered. Annie's kid gets abducted. We live in the New York City area. If a parent so much as whispers, I can't find my kid, you've got an Amber Alert over the tri-state area.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gave a crap. First of all, she didn't pick up a phone to call anybody that her daughter was missing. And number two, granted, I know she's not supposed to be near her, but still, I would have called. And number two, that kid, and I don't care if he's a kid working in a movie theater, he didn't give a crap. If someone tells you a kid is missing, you do anything to try to, you know, help the person out.
It was bizarre.
It was bizarre. And then we had, right before that, we had the moment where Ryan punched the cop. Why the hell did he punch that cop?
Because it said so in the script.
I think so.
What I don't understand is why the cop didn't beat the shit out of him. I wanted some police brutality because Ryan deserves to get his ass kicked.
Instead, the cop was like, girl trouble, huh?
Yeah. Ryan, look. Ryan, isn't that, like, that's an offense. Isn't that, like, something serious if you hit an assaulting an officer?
Hell yeah.
And then Jesse lets him go?
Hell yes. Although Jesse did warn him.
Oh, yeah. He said, I was so scared when he warned him. I'd be so scared.
Well, he said to him, he said, you need to stay out of trouble, Ryan. You need to try harder. And then he tells Ryan that he just saw Annie. Just saw Annie. She's a hot mess.
Well, see, now I'm going to blame Donnell for something.
What?
Because this was him as an actor, and he messed up.
Yeah, but he gets lines like this. Whatever's got you stuck on stupid, handle it. Make it work.
No, I'm not talking about that. Your Jesse scares me.
Why?
Because you sound like him. what I'm talking about is, like, he was telling Ryan about, like trying to psychoanalyze Ryan. Yeah, I understand what you're going through, but you got to understand that keeping things in the dark and lies and this and that and keeping about it up is just going to make things blah, 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 blah. And this is like, and I was waiting for Darnell as an actor to play the fact that you need to take your own advice.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't do it.
Nope.
Because that's something that Ricky Paul does. Ricky Paul knows how to play the subtlety.
Ricky Paul's so good. Oh my God.
And I was very disappointed at Darnell because that's what I thought they were going for here. Because I'm trying to understand why there's these scenes between Ryan and Jesse that make no sense, and why Jesse, who's the chief of police, is all of a sudden a marriage counselor and in these people's business. What does the chief, in the middle of a tornado, what the hell is the chief of police doing worrying about these people and their love lives?
I agree.
Those scenes were so stupid, and the dialogue was so stupid.
Mm.
Him spewing out vice to Adam at one point, to Annie, to Ryan. You're the chief of police, and a tornado's hitting your town.
I hear you. I don't know what
that
to say.
That is stupid.
I don't know what to say. All I know is what basically ends up happening is Ryan gets let go. He goes running looking for Greenlee, not his daughter.
Yeah, because why would he look for his daughter that he fought? Yeah.
But goes looking for Greenlee. He finds her, and Greenlee and he have to run for cover. They go to their special spot, and they have to run for cover because the storm comes, and Greenlee's cell phone is out in the rubble, and so she can't call anybody. And so she goes to look through a window. You know, I noticed that Pine Valley people do the stupidest things in a tornado. They open doors. They look at windows. You know, they go near cars with live wires. They just don't really make a lot of sense in their choices, really. Anyway, so she gets blown away and then she gets hurt, but then Ryan takes care of her and they get closer. And this is where it gets completely ridiculous for me. Adam is so worried about her that he goes looking for her. He finds her cell phone. He gets worried about her. He realizes that she's inside after he sees her curled up with Ryan. And then somehow some cop finds him and goes to rescue him, and the cop's like, is there anybody else here, sir? And Adam doesn't answer. So he's not going to tell the cop, obviously, that Ryan and Greenlee are there and in danger. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Stupid, boring, dumb, ridiculous. And it's only stupid, boring, dumb, ridiculous because it's so not Adam. You know what? It would have been great if Adam hadn't pulled all this crap and had done that. Don't you think? Like, if Adam hadn't pulled a gun, if Adam hadn't bugged her, if he had tried to really deal and be, you know, be the understanding Adam and self-respecting Adam that we know him to be, and then he had done this, that would have been interesting to me. It would have been like a mind thing.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
But how is this any different than what him and Kendall did?
You got a point. You've stumped me.
Why is he getting all uppity with Greenlee when he thought Greenlee was dead, and the first thing he did was sleep with Kendall.
This is because it's so stupid. You're being really silly, Jordan. It's very clear. This is what happened, okay? Ryan and Greenlee have never touched each other, but they're in love, okay? And that is way worse than putting your penis in another woman's vagina over and over and over and over again the second that their loved ones kick the bucket. That is way worse.
Okay, if you say so.
Way worse.
Okay, thank you, Greenlee, for explaining that to me.
I just thought you should really know.
Okay.
Do I have to talk about Zach and Kendall? I hate them so much.
Oh, my God. They're so boring.
That Rachel is a different Rachel every week. Who the hell is that Rachel
now? I don't know.
She brought the kids. Kendall is so disgustingly skinny. I can't believe.
She's gotten a little thin.
Shirley, it's not that she should be in a coma. That tornado should have carried her to China. And Zach spends 4 months searching the world for her. Because she gets amnesia. That would be brilliant. I would believe it, too. Wouldn't you believe that?
How did she survive the tornado? I mean, she's so dead.
She was wearing these tights, people, like these leggings in these boots. She was so skinny. That girl is skinny. Flagga. Skinny, string bean, thin. Wouldn't that have been funny, though, the visual on that? Kendall getting swept up in the tornado, spinning around and around and landing in China with amnesia. I would love that.
Ding dong.
How great would that be? And then you had the rest of the 4 months, Zach traveling the world to find his wife.
Anything that would get rid of the two of them off the air for a while, I'd be happy for.
Oh, it would be great. All right, so then what do we have? Oh, my God, I'm so bored. I am so bored hearing myself talk. What do we do, Jordan? I am so bored.
She's falling asleep while we're doing the podcast.
I swear. It's terrible. But listen, no. We'll talk about my favorite part. This is my favorite part. Oh, my God.
She's like, you know what it says? She's like this. She's like, and Kendall's...
I am.
It's also hot here, though.
All right, fine. It is hot here. I'm sorry.
Is that hot? That's probably making you a little droopy. You got the heat on. It's not that hot outside.
Well, it was hot, but it was cold this morning.
Oh, my God. No wonder I'm, like, passing out.
All right, fine. Listen.
All right.
So then Kendall gets a good idea, a real brilliant idea, to make s'mores. So Zach goes
in the middle of a tornado.
In the middle of a tornado.
Did they not know that a tornado was coming?
Oh, I don't know what they knew.
Could they not tell from all those special effects that were in the background every time she opened the door?
You would think the green screens would be a clue.
I mean, every time she opened that door, it looked menacing.
Yeah.
It didn't look like a tornado. It looked like a storm.
It was like black as night.
Wind blowing everywhere. I was like, how could you not tell that something was a coming?
I don't know how she could have tell. Anyway.
She didn't get Opal's memo.
She didn't get Opal's memo. So then Zach drives, and this is what I really liked. He's driving home with the supplies, you know. And he's telling Kendall he's just fine. And he looks in his rearview mirror, and he sees a cyclone, a twister, a tornado coming right on him. And he's like, whoa!
Dun, 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 dun.
And the whole CGI effect kicks in, and he gets whammed. His car goes up. That's a good thing. That's a point. That's a good point.
What?
Zach's car gets literally lifted up into the twister, and then it falls, and then he hits his head, and he breaks, you know, cracks his head open. If that storm could lift Zach's car with him in it, how the hell is Kendall anywhere near Pine Valley?
You are obsessed with making Kendall go to China, are you not?
True. So I loved it. And then there's live wires and there's gas dripping. I loved that scene. I really loved it.
You did?
Yeah.
You know what it kind of reminded me of?
What?
When Brooke and Jackson got in that car accident and there was live wire in the car.
Oh, no. You're right.
And when Haley and what's his name got in the car accident and there was live wire in the car.
All right, fine. You proved your point. I'm sorry. You're right.
I liked it the first two times.
All right, so let's finish that particular storyline. What basically happens is Zach meets up with Annie, and she, like the dumbass that everybody else in Pine Valley is, she decides to go toward the live wire instead of against it, and she knocks herself out. But then she wakes up, and he sends her away to, like, get help and stuff. And then he gets home, and his house... Is this a new beach house? Because we've never seen this house before.
I guess.
On the Pennsylvania coast?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He goes back to the house, and the house is in splinters. It's like splintered. But prior to that, we saw Kendall saying to somebody, "What are you doing here?" And so Zach is looking, and he finds Spike and Ian. And it was interesting because what I thought was interesting was he didn't say, you know, Spike, Ian. He said, "Boys." I think because he forgot their names. It was a safe bet. You know, boys. They might respond to it.
But the thing was that he was yelling in that little boy's ear going, "Where's your mama? Where's your mama?" And little Spike was like, "You didn't put my cochlear implant on."
Dad, I totally can't hear
you. The tornado short circuit. I can't hear you.
He was so precious, though. He had some good looks, didn't he?
Yeah, because he was looking at the green screen while they were shooting and going, sure. "Why are they getting all upset?"
That's funny. That's probably true. So then Zach lifts up some rubble. He finds a boot. He lifts up some rubble, and guess who it is, people?
A 9-month pregnant Bianca.
Bianca. 9-month pregnant. And in the previews, Bianca says to Zach, "You're the father."
Zach's her baby's daddy.
Zach, her baby daddy.
Which means that little Ian, that's his sister and his cousin.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's his sister. No, it's his cousin. No, it's his sister. No, it's his cousin.
Oh, that's a great movie. People got to watch it. I just got chills. You want to talk about Opal?
Yes.
I don't know if I can.
Come on, let's make it quick.
You make it quick. I can't do it. She wears that butterfly sleep mask. She's crazy. She's going crazy.
Her hair's wacky. It's a mess.
It's a mess.
Green and purple robe.
Petey and Colby don't even want to talk about them.
They come over to visit her.
Petey's wearing ugly pajamas.
Oh, wait. That's the first day. All right.
Fine.
You didn't like Petey's pajamas?
No.
They were cute.
Dumb. Gimmick. Spinelli.
Opal's crazy.
Opal's crazy.
She goes into the comeback.
She's nuts.
They follow her. Petey and Colby follow her.
She has a heart attack.
And no one seems to give a damn.
No one seems to care.
No one seems to care. They feel nothing.
Angie says her heart stopped. That was the first time Debbie Morgan didn't yell her lines where she actually should have.
Then they take Opal out on a stretcher.
Yep. And everyone camps out at the comeback. Kathy's there too, little Kathy.
I know. Now, why is Kathy there but Jenny isn't?
Where the fuck was baby Jenny?
With Ruth. That means we're never seeing Jenny again. But what I don't understand is that they were screaming at the comeback. I actually like the scenes at the comeback on Friday. Those are the scenes that I love.
Yes.
But what I don't understand is what bar doesn't have a cellar?
It did. Nobody was down there.
No. They don't have a cellar.
She said basement.
Then why didn't they go down to the basement?
Because they were having a wedding for Babe and JR for the kids.
No, I could have sworn they said they did.
Crystal said basement.
That they said there was nowhere to go because I remember JR telling Jesse, "We're not going to survive this. There's nowhere for us to go. If there was a basement, all they had to do was go down to the basement."
Crystal said basement.
All right, keep going.
So then what?
Frankie catches Jesse talking to Natalia.
Oh, no, we didn't finish up that whole storyline.
Well, this is before that.
All right, fine.
Jesse lies to his son.
Tries to blow up Natalia, which I was disgusted by. Jesse is lying like crazy to Frankie, and then when Natalia comes back before the storm, he lies like crazy to Angie.
It was... disgusted.
Repulsive.
Disgusted by it. Disgusted by it.
And then when the storm finally hits, she gets caught in it, she gets hit, Natalia does, and then...
Well, everybody that was at the comeback was Babe and little Adam.
Yeah, and JR.
Crystal. Uh-huh. Tad had went to the hospital with Opal.
Yep.
Petey and Colby had went.
Yep.
They left. There was Frankie. Frankie vanished. No, I guess he
Frankie
went.
You know, Randy.
He went. No, Frankie went with. He went with Tat and Opal.
Oh, okay.
Because Frankie wasn't there. It was so Natalia.
Angie was there.
Jesse.
Yes. Yes.
Crazy Annie.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that was it. So then...
Those are the best special effects. The tornado comes after they had... Right as they were having the wedding.
Yes.
The tornado comes. It hits. Those special effects were awesome. I'm not going to front. I like them. They were intense.
I like them too.
That was drama. But see, this is where they dropped the ball. Because you know what would have been, really good drama? And I think Natalia did scream out dad, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong, but
I
could have sworn that she would have screamed out that. But this is where you drop the ball as a writer, because this is how you salvage something. After everything was said and done, Jesse should have been screaming, I need to find my daughter. That's how Angie should have found out the truth. Because at that moment, you're not thinking of covering your ass. You're thinking that this is your daughter.
Why is she not alive?
He could care less. He could care less. He was still fronting. And poor Randy, nobody cared about her at all. Angie hugged her as an afterthought. It was very like, oh yeah, you, okay. I'm glad you're alive too. All right.
That's funny.
It was very much an afterthought. I mean, all the stuff with Babe and JR was great. All I kept thinking about how much more powerful it would have been if it was Alexa.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
But it wasn't.
But it wasn't. But Amanda's going to go out with a bang. Mm-hmm. She's going to take it out with a bang.
Amanda Baker?
Baker.
Yeah, I think so. What's the story? Story is that if they lift the beam to rescue JR...
She's going
to
bleed out.
She's going to bleed to death.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I like.
Yeah.
I'd die for my son, wouldn't you?
Oh, of course.
I was crying at that. I'm telling you.
No, it was that was the only good thing.
That's my third favorite moment of the week.
That was the only good moment for me. They were good.
I thought to myself, you better lift that thing now, because I can't live with myself if my son dies. I would die.
Yeah, it was. They finally give her some meaty stuff to play. She was good.
She lived a good job.
But see, this is bad writing for me. I want to know where everybody else was during this.
Yeah, where's Taylor and Jake?
Where's Taylor, Jake? Where's Amanda? Where's Carmen? Mm-hmm. Where are the rest of Pine Valley citizens during this?
I agree. If everybody can be at a wedding, why can't everybody be in a tornado?
I mean, if you're going to do something of this magnitude that you're calling an event, then everybody in town, everybody on the show that's a character needs to be involved in this.
Yep.
And it was stupid because you're left with all these questions. Where were all these people?
Right. Do we need to talk about Petey and Colby? Because I don't want to.
People like Petey and Colby.
Are you kidding me?
You're not reading our blog. People do like them. I have to admit that I don't necessarily like her as Kobe. I know you're going to say Disco Dan. I know what you're going to say. But I do like the concept of the storyline and what it's about. The fact that it's the nerdy boy getting the girl and her realizing. But the thing is that I realized this week, you know what the problem with Brianna Grimm Grief is as Kobe?
What do you think? She's like a female, can't act?
No, she's a female geek herself. She's not sophisticated. She has the worst posture. She snorts when she laughs. She has the worst like that when she laughs. I mean, she's really goofy and geeky. She's not like classic and chic like Amber was.
She has a very proud five head.
They brought her on to make Kobe more mature. And she comes across to me more young and more goofy than Amber ever did. I just go down, you're right, but what I'm saying is then get us another Kobe because Brianna Mongrief's not it. Recast. And on the second note, Natalia, I'm sorry, but I'd rather have Yaya back. I'd rather have Cassandra back. Why do we need another daughter in the Hubbard family?
Who yells?
You just got rid of one.
She's a yeller.
You just got rid of one. Why do you need another one? I don't like this girl.
I don't need another yeller.
She's a sweet person, but she does. I'd rather have Yaya. I like Cassie.
I did too.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you got rid of this girl, and then you're bringing out another girl that, you know what I mean? And Randy, oh God, you know, and I was a big supporter of Randy, but she needs to go too. There's somebody, I think it was Laura that said that they're looking at this tornado as Chuck Pratt's way of cleaning the rubble and the, you know, the debris from All My Children and what's been going on for the last 2 years. And I thought that was a very poetic way of putting it, but I don't think that's what's happening. Because if you were going to clean the rubble, Aiden would be dead. Randy would be dead. Mm-hmm. You're killing all the wrong people. Because at this point, I'd rather see Babe as Amanda Baker as Babe on the show than have Aiden and Randy running around.
And figuratively clean house. Absolutely.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Because they're not cleaning house as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'll give you the brief story. I'm not going to talk about Petey and Colby. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. I'll give you the brief story on Taylor and Jake. Jake goes to the comeback to see Tad. And Tad has become a real male chauvinist pig. Mm-hmm. Didn't he say something about Amanda when Amanda walked in that was pretty sexist?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And then Amanda comes in drunk because she's all upset over Bella and stuff like that. And Taylor comes in all happy because she's going to Iraq. And Amanda is very glad.
Well, you know why that is, right?
Yes.
Because two women can't be friends on all my children.
Of course not. So, and I thought to myself, this was the third, I think, cat fight of the week for me that I counted. Mm-hmm. Or potential, anyway.
Yeah.
And then Taylor actually, which was nice, Taylor actually goes to help Amanda, which I like. And then Jake thanks her for helping Mandy, and the romance begins.
But see...
I know what you're going to say. You say the romance, Frankie.
No, you say the romance begins, but see, this is what I'm talking about. What romance?
I agree with you. We're not seeing scenes between these two people. But that's what I'm saying. I'm only saying that because that's the plot. I know, but
this is what's happening. They're not showing scenes. When have we seen scenes with Jake and Amanda, let alone real meaty scenes with Jake and her to forward this relationship? This is what is so annoying me about this writer and this scenes, because these things happen on... You asked me about Zach. You tell me, when does Zach have time to impregnate Bianca? And I told you it was on a Saturday episode of All My Children. I mean, are we to assume that everything that we need to see is happening, like, on the weekend episodes that don't exist?
Fine.
I'm getting mad. I want to see these scenes. Tell me a story, Chuck Pratt. Give me a damn story.
He can't do it. It's not possible. He doesn't know how to do that. He only knows plot, 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 crap.
I mean,
he has no character. He has no story. It's disrespectful and horrible. I don't know what to do about it. All I know is I hate the Erica Adams storyline more than any storyline I've ever hated in my whole life. I don't recognize Adam. He doesn't have the nuances that he used to have, the subtlety. He used to be so angry. And what did you say to me?
About what?
The opposite of hate is indifference.
Yes. No, the opposite of love. The opposite of love isn't hate. It's indifference.
Is indifference. Now, this is a perfect example. We always saw such extreme and deep love motivating the horrible evil acts that Adam would do. Now he's just purely evil. And now he's trying, we're being asked to buy that he's all upset that JR has left. I don't believe it. Just two minutes ago, he was, you know, plotting to take over Fusion from JR and Babe after they took it over from Kendall. So stupid.
Somebody else in the blog, I think, I got to write these notes down. I think it was Disco Dan, but I'm not sure. Somebody mentioned the fact that, because, you know, another thing that he's harping on is the fact that he's losing his grandson. And somebody made a point, and I've been wondering about this too, since he's so obsessed with JR. What about his other children? What about the oldest grandson, Lorenzo?
Exactly.
Okay. Lorenzo Santos. Yeah. And it's like you would think that JR is his only child.
Yeah.
And this is his only grandchild. His legacy. What about Lorenzo? Lorenzo's not part of your legacy?
I don't know.
There's a lot of history that's been... You know, you were asking about characters that we should bring back. You know what Amanda needs? Amanda needs her brother. Mm. Tim Dillon, who was Frankie's best friend growing up. Mm. That's the kind of characters I want to see. I want to see people that have connections to these families. Mm. All right.
I can't talk about it. I'm so disgusted with it. The only thing that was good was when they saw the dark black figure walking across the screen. That was the only thing that was good.
Didn't you tell me Pedro liked that one?
Pedro loved that. He was so creeped out.
But it was David Hayward. We know it's David Hayward.
But he don't know. He didn't know. He was creeped out. I like when we saw the Chinese food boxes. Did you like that? In the room that David Hayward was living in?
But why were you so excited about Chinese food boxes?
I thought it was funny.
Okay. Okay, girl, whatever rocks your boat, whatever makes you... Look, she needs something to make her laugh while she's watching the show. And if it tastes Chinese little butt boxes, then that's what it does, damn it. Don't judge her. Don't judge her. But wait.
What?
Can I ask you something?
What?
Why did the... And it wasn't the tornado. It was a funnel.
As a funnel cloud,
as Petey was, you know, educating us. Why did the funnel cloud come through the Chandler mansion and did absolutely no damage where Petey and Kobe were, but for some reason the tunnels were destroyed?
There's that bad architect that's running around Pine Valley building bad houses.
I know, but how does the house stay perfect and yet when Adam and Erica finally open that door, there's so much debris that they can't get out?
You could say that it's really an allusion to Erica Kane. You can say the same thing about her. How does she stay so perfect? She's 62 years old.
I'm sorry. She looks damn good for her age.
For her age? No. She don't look good for her age. She looks good for no matter how old you are.
I know, exactly. Because I always said that. I always said that these young girls should be ashamed of themselves, that she looks better than them. But what kills me is I don't like what that Terri-Anne, what was her name? Embargo? That judge on that Dancing with the Stars told her.
Terri-Anne and Abba.
I like Terri-Anne Embargo. Anyway, I like renaming people. I don't like what she said when she said that Susan needed to eat. Susan looks good. She does not look anorexic. Yes, she does not look... Shut up. She does not. She looks healthy. She looks good. She does Pilates, which I love. I love Pilates.
She ain't but 82 pounds.
She's petite.
She is too little.
She's petite.
But listen, she did good in Dancing with the Stars this week, people.
Is that it? Are we
I'm
done?
Not talking about it. I swear to God, I'm not talking about it. It's stupid. What do you want from me?
They get trapped.
They get trapped. She plots with Adam.
Oh, but we got to talk about my favorite line.
What?
This is another bad thing about the writing. All of a sudden, Adam gets in his head that he wants him and Erica to go away, to get away from everything during a tornado. Right? He texts Kobe. And Kobe gets the text, and she's like, oh, thanks, Dad. Don't even ask me how I'm doing. Him and Erica are going away. And Petey looks at her and goes, during a tornado warning? And I laugh. Your chicken boxes, your Chinese food, that was Petey's line. Hmm. Petey's line made my week. Chinese
I'm happy for
boxes
you.
Made your
I'm
week.
I'm glad that can give you some pleasure.
But when would Adam not be worried about Kobe?
That's what I'm saying.
And then another thing, 3 weeks ago, there was a little bit of some lightning and some thunder, Erica freaked out. A tornado's coming, and she didn't freak out until they got trapped in the thing. That makes no sense.
Oh, the other thing, Greenlee did not seem to have any claustrophobia in that little room. It didn't remind her at all of being trapped. Yeah.
There was a lot of inconsistencies.
Inconsistent. Do you have anything else you want to say? Because I really don't want to talk about it.
Okay, I got scoop.
Go ahead.
It seems like, and it seems like after this tornado, like in about a couple, not even like what, November, the first week of November, somehow Jake is finally going to like admit his feelings for
Taylor
and dump Amanda.
That's a spoiler.
I'm sorry. Well, y'all knew it was about to happen, but guess who they're going to supposedly hook Amanda up with?
People, turn off your iPod right now if you don't want to hear.
Everybody in the blog is telling me that they hate when we know stuff and we don't tell them. All right,
well, people, turn it down. Hold on. I'm giving you 5 seconds. Turn it off now.
It looks like they're going to put Amanda ill with David Hayward.
Ugh!
I don't like that. All right, Jake is one thing because he's at least hot.
This is horrible.
Do you not realize that both Jake and David were on the show 10 years ago when Amanda was like 8?
Yes.
It's kind of like repulsive.
Disgusting.
It's kind of repulsive. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm going to throw up. I'll stomach Jake, but David, I don't like at all. I don't like at all.
You got 1 minute for one life to live.
1 minute?
One. I'm counting.
Damn, one life to live was really good, y'all, this week because Vicky came back and everybody's putting two and two about Tess, and Tess is going to go on the land with those kids. I mean, she is ready to book out of town. And Dorian's plot to get Ray Montez assassinated is coming to fruition at the airport soon.
Fruition.
Fruition is the same thing. Leave me alone.
You got 45 seconds.
I'm trying to think. It's so many good things happened this week. Bitchy Bangs is back, and she is taking control of Rex's healthcare, and she is not letting Gigi anywhere near him.
Are they still married?
Yes, they're still married legally.
I love it. Okay,
there is so much drama, and they just fired Justice, who plays Sarah on One Night to Live, which I'm upset about.
That's Todd and that chick.
Oh, Todd and Marty are still going strong, so I don't know where everything's going on One Night to Live. All I know is that I'm loving One Night to Live because they're giving me stories. Blair is with John McBain. She's still fighting for John.
Nice.
She still wants John.
What about Beth Ann Bonner?
Well, her and Antonio are still trying to find Christian.
Okay.
So they're all going to be at the airport when everything goes down. So look for those airport scenes because it's going to be hot.
What about Petunia?
Petunia who?
Petunia Pig.
Oh, it's about Kathy Bree who plays Marcy.
No! I'm talking about Natalie.
She's still because she just got married too in real life. That's why they locked her in the in the thingamajiggy.
Good luck, pal. What? That girl's a lot of work.
I don't know. She's
telling you right now.
Oh my god! But those scenes were so good, and Tina was so. How could you watch One Night to Live this week and not realize what Andrea Evans brings to that show? Tina's presence is so needed. There's so much history there. She's so great with Erica Slezak. She's so great with her nieces and Roxy, Eileen, Kristen. It's great material and great characterization and great storylines. I'm loving One Night to Live. But we should say that we didn't really acknowledge it. For those of you who, I don't know where, if you're under a rock and you don't know, but Eileen Hurley, who played Myrtle, passed away.
90 years old.
God bless her.
I calculated 88. I think the New York Times is wrong.
She is gone. Another one of our soap greats. It saddens me every time a soap great goes. And for those of you who don't, some of you might remember Irene Daly, who played Aunt Liz on Another World for almost 20 years and won a 1979 Best Actress Award, also passed away. You know, they say that celebrities and actors and stuff always go in threes. Mm-hmm. And it's true because Eileen died first, then Irene Daly, and then James Riley, the head writer of Passions mm-hmm. and Days of Our Lives, just passed away, 60. Mm-hmm. So, you know, three soap people are gone.
I don't know about you people. I grew up with Eileen Hurley.
I grew up with Eileen Hurley too.
And I loved her.
I grew up with Aunt Liz mm-hmm. on Another World. Mm-hmm. And earlier this year, we lost Beverly McKenzie, who played.
I don't know if you know, but I'm sure you know by now because all the great articles that have come out on Eileen Hurley. But she was a master actress.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
All My Children was her last pit stop. She had done a million things. Yeah. She did many things before. For those of you who know, it's not just her. Ruth Warwick was also a working, you know.
Orson Welles worked with.
You know, and this is what kills me is that they knock soap operas, and I hate that. I hate when people knock soap operas because you know what? This genre can be brilliant. And when it is brilliant, it is brilliant. And one of the best shows, and I'm going to start crying, has been All My Children. And for those of you who doubt that we don't care about this show, you're wrong. We do care about this show. And that's why we get so frustrated and so mad at times like this. Because, you know, I don't like when people knock soap. Because when you look at a movie and you see like a great performance, whatever, Glenn Close, Meryl Streep, even though I don't like Meryl Streep, you cannot tell me that there have not been moments on All My Children where brilliance has happened, mm-hmm. just like those movies. Mm-hmm. Because no one's going to tell me that Julia Barr was not phenomenal. Mm-hmm. When she found out that her daughter was dying, you're not going to tell me that Ellen Wheeler on her deathbed as Cindy Chandler dying from AIDS and that whole storyline and Debbie Morgan and Darnell Williams and David Canary were not brilliant. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Worthy of Oscars, those performances mm-hmm. were.
I agree.
And the writing was brilliant. And how Sky turned around, how she didn't want her uncle dating somebody with HIV. Mm-hmm. This is what I want, and this is what I'm not getting. I'm not getting stories. I'm not getting things that make me, that touch me, mm-hmm. that make me cry, that make me feel. And for a minute on Friday, I felt something with mm-hmm. Babe.
I did too.
And I want more of that. I should not be watching 5 hours out of the week, and I get 2 seconds.
I felt it with Zach when he was looking for his wife. I felt that. I did.
I did. I don't like him. He needs to go back to One Night to Live and rescue Marty.
All right, fine. Listen, if you want to write us, please do. We love hearing from you. We are at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page, www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, or you can go to our website where you can click onto the blog site and a couple other links, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for Myrtle.
Cheers.
Darling, after what that man has put you through, nobody could possibly blame you for wanting to destroy him.
No, what I want is put him in a hole. And I'm tired and beaten and broken, thirsty and hungry.
No, it's been mad. Dan, you are not going to do that. You know that.
I can't have him go off to my family. Or Greenlee, Kendall, or the boys.
Look, he'll be put in jail for that.
We've seen the justice system fail. We both have.
He'll suffer in other ways.
So what do I do? Just sit here and wait? Have faith? Come on, Ronald. Talk to me, I need your help.
Well, He should go through hell, and we both know it. But the thing is, if you are the one to put him there, you're going to bring hell to yourself and to your family. I mean, Kendall and the children, they can't afford to lose you again.
I know.
They love you so much, and they need you. You've got to remember that. Just think, if you can put your arms around them and keep them safe, you'd feel so much better than you would giving pain to that awful, wretched horror.